of God that you do not believe in? Is there a promise of God that will fail to come to pass? The answer is no. What we're going to talk about today is so important because your understanding of this subject today could mean the difference between being rescued and being left behind. In the parable of the widow woman, the begging the unjust judge, Jesus said at the end, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?" This faith is belief in the Holy Bible, belief in the promises of God, and belief followed by an action. You have to understand that this way of life is a package. In the Bible, sin is likened unto yeast, but so is the kingdom of God. In Luke chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. The holy days, the Sabbath, the dietary laws, first and second tithe, worship in the Spirit, tongues, the promises given to Abraham, all of it is part of the promises of God. It's all a package. You see, if you start to take away one little thing, then you backtrack on something else. Well, maybe we don't need to pray in tongues in here. Then the next thing you know, it's, well, maybe we don't have to keep all of Sabbath. You know, we can go to work maybe when it first starts, or maybe we can, you know, we can fudge a little bit at the end and go to work, you know, an hour before sundown. Or maybe, well, we don't have to keep all the holy days, you know. We don't have to keep 7 days of unleavened bread. We'll just keep, you know, we'll just eat unleavened bread the first day. We don't have to do it the whole time. You see, when you start backtracking on one thing, it's a race, as Pastor Bill says, we're either racing to the top or we're collapsing to the bottom. And that's the way that the Word of God... If you look at the people of Israel, they began to abandon one thing and then they left another. They left the Sabbath and the holy days. If you read in the time of Rehoboam, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, when the two nations split apart, the northern tribes abandoned... It wasn't Rehoboam, it was Jeroboam. They abandoned worship of Yahweh during tabernacles and took on what's known today as Oktoberfest. But this is the way that the Word of God works. If we abandon, it's either an all or nothing thing. That's why we have to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our mind, all our strength. Is there some part of us that we should leave out? Remember, sin is like yeast, but so is the kingdom of God. If the kingdom of God is in your life, then it's going to start as a small thing, but expand. But when it stops expanding, you've got to ask yourself, what yeast have you just let in your life? Well, I started keeping Shabbat, but I don't know about those holy days. Pride is a sin too. Or maybe the dietary laws are okay, but I don't know about the Sabbath. I don't know about that second tithe or the first tithe. I don't know about that. And what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, he said, "You've neglected, you tithe." Actually, in the Greek it says you tithes. You bring tithes of your dill, mint, cumin, and etc. But you have neglected the weightier matters of Torah. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You've neglected these things. I'd rather you do the latter without neglecting the former. So, he wants you to do the former thing too. What was the former thing? Tithes. It all comes back to keeping the Torah. We were talking this past week in Bible study. We're in freedom under the law, and right now on Wednesday nights we do have a Bible study. By the way, we're meeting about 8 o'clock, and so if anybody would like to come, we're meeting at Kelly and Jeremy's. Just get in touch with us during the week. We'll let you know about everything that's going on, what chapter we're going, because every week it changes. So, you know, because we're moving through different books and different topics. But nevertheless, we were studying the way. And we were talking about how in Romans, Paul says, what does it profit to be a Jew? Much in every way. He didn't say much in just, well, this way or that way, much in every way, chiefly because they were given the living oracles of God. And if you study that Greek word that used for living oracles, it means Torah. It refers to the Torah. Chiefly, meaning the first reason why, the number one reason why it profits to be a Jew much in every way, is because they were given Torah. Because when God gave Torah, He said, if a man will do these things, he will surely live by them. It's life or death. Either you're going to do it, or you're not. So what part of this are we going to leave out? What part of this do we not like? Is it too Jewish? Is it too wild, too radical? Is it maybe just a little weird? It was for me when I first came. It was a little weird. I didn't criticize it. I just didn't know what to think of it. Okay, first time I ever came was a holy day. I wasn't even prepped on a Sabbath beforehand. I started on a holy day. On Passover. 2007. I remember it very well. I didn't know what in the world to think of it. I had to get my hair messed up to realize it's what I needed to do. Some of y'all know what that means. Never mind, I'll get into that another time. You know, Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 how there's a veil over our hearts to the old covenant whenever it's read. Whenever it's read, we don't understand it until we come to Christ. But in Christ, that's taken away. Our misunderstandings about the Old Testament should not be there if we're in Christ. If you have trouble understanding why you should keep Shabbat, then has Christ truly taken the veil away from your heart? If you have trouble understanding the holy days, the dietary laws, any of these things, has Christ truly taken the veil away from your heart? Because you see, when He died, He rent a veil in two. That you and I could go into the most holy place in heaven. There's a veil over our hearts that is rent when we receive that Passover sacrifice. And I'm not preaching on Passover, by the way. I'm not preaching on that. But we will in about a month or so. We'll start doing Passover preparation. Well, we have to understand that everything is important to God. Go to Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, verse 14. This is Paul. He's standing before Felix, the governor here, and he says to him, start with verse 13. He says, "And they cannot prove to you the charges they are now making against me." Verse 14. "However, I admit that I worship the God of our fathers as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that agrees with the law and that is written in the prophets." Paul admits this. Do you admit it? Are you ashamed of it? Are you ashamed that you worship the God of our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, as a follower of the way, which they call a sect? It was a sect of Judaism. This was not a separate religion. The Romans did not allow separate religions at the time of Christ. You had to be able to trace your religion back to ancient times. They did not allow new religions at this time, the first century. But look what he says. "I believe everything that agrees with Torah and that is written in the prophets." So belief in the Hebrew understanding is faith followed by an action, is it not? Faith followed by an action. everything that agrees with the law. Not that disagrees with it, but that agrees with it. And that is written in the prophets. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. The Lord came to me in three dreams last night, and He has never done this before. He woke me up several times in the middle of the night to show me what He wanted me to preach today. I've been kind of leading up to what we're getting into, and I'm going to continue to do so through these verses that we're going to read. The title of today's sermon is The Promises Given to Abraham. The Lord has never done that to me in my entire life. Three dreams, three times waking me up in the middle of the night, shaking me from my dreams. Now, I know I'm sick, but I know when the Lord's talking to me, and that was definitely the Lord. Apparently, there's something very extremely important that we understand about these promises if we're going to proceed in the last days. We see Abraham's faith and obedience happened in the beginning. So if our faith and obedience is going to be made complete at the end, we must first understand the beginning, because God says in His Word that I am Yahweh. I declare the end of a thing from the beginning and the beginning from the end. So the end is now. The beginning was then. So whatever God said, it applies now. It didn't stop because some theologian somewhere wrote something saying that it didn't apply, or because some false teacher somewhere who claimed to be filled with the Spirit, preached against it, didn't do away with the promise. Or because some rabbi or some messianic rabbi or some kind of weirdo said it was done away or perverted or twisted the Word of God. It's not done away. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. It's a package. You can't leave out one thing without starting to fall to the end. Before you know it, if you take out the promises of Abraham or Shabbat or anything, before you know it, well, maybe we shouldn't pray in tongues as much. Well, maybe we should work on Shabbat. Like I said earlier, it's just a collapse down to the bottom. Because when you get hit with straight word, you change or you harden your heart and you turn away from God. It's straight word. We're going to go through straight word. I don't think I'm going to go through any Greek words today. Not that I'm aware of. There may be one or two in here. Or Hebrew words. That's what he said. Praise the Lord. I don't even think we're going to go through any of that today. Straight word. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, like some people, letters of recommendation to you or from you? You yourselves are our letter written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, when he uses letter and Spirit, he refers to living Torah on your own or through the Spirit of God. If you live by just the letter itself, you will die, because you and your natural man cannot keep it. But if you do it through the Spirit of God, you shall obtain life. Verse 7. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of its glory, fading as though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. He doesn't say bold. He says very bold. We are not like Moshe, who would put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone, he says anyone, turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Verse 16, when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. If you don't understand something about the Old Testament when you read it, have you turned to the Lord or away? Now look, when we all come into this, we don't all get it immediately. It takes time. But when you've heard it 2, 3, 4, 5 times, okay, and you still, I just don't get it. Have you turned to the Lord? Has the veil been taken away from your heart? You see, the blessings given to Abraham should not be hidden from us. They shouldn't be said, well, we can't understand that today. That was given to an ancient people at an ancient time. Really, that's an excuse for someone who sounds like they've got a veil over their hearts. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, Paul says that we are Abraham's seed. We are Abraham's seed if we have faith in Jesus Christ. If we have the faith of Abraham, we are the seed of Abraham. You see, in Abraham's time, he looked in the distance and saw the Mashiach. That's how come he's the father of our faith. He saw it before anybody else did. He said, I looked in the distance. Isaac said, where's the ram? And he says, well, Yeshua, he said, God will provide himself as the lamb. They didn't find the lamb. They found a ram. He saw Jesus. That's why he's the father of our faith. That's why we're his seed. And the seed is, that's where the DNA comes from. That's where the makeup comes from. You've got to have the seed. So if you're the seed of Abraham, you ought to understand these blessings. You ought to wonder what seed you're of. You better be questioning what seed you're receiving. If you can't understand the seed you're supposed to be of, the same blessings given to Abraham. He saw Jesus in his day. We've got to have the same faith. You know, Abraham obeyed and he didn't have tablets, a stone. Brother Coleman says, take 2 tablets daily. But Abraham didn't have tablets on stone. He didn't have a written word like we have. He just said, God, I submit, I'll obey. And he obeyed Torah anyways. Where's our faith? We got to have someone hammer us upside the head with a Bible before we get it. We got to have God send 10 people our way saying the exact same before we get it. We've got to have all this miraculous stuff happen to us before we ever get it. God just spoke to Abraham. Abraham said, I will hear and I will comply. Romans chapter 4, verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, discovered in this manner? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. But what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 6. He's quoting the Old Testament here in this passage. Genesis chapter 15. And yes, we are going places. The Star Trek Church of God. Going places. No man's ever been before. Encountering peoples and things unknown to the world that we know today. Genesis 15:6, this is the quotation of the Scripture that Paul is referencing. Abraham believed the Lord, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, I want you to understand that this Scripture right here does not refer to any just one thing that Abraham believed in. It wasn't at some point, Abraham believed in just one thing, and oh, then it was credited to him as righteousness. No, Abraham believed in everything that God had said to him up to that point, and then the scripture lets us know right here, because let me read to you some of the things God said to Abraham up to this point. Genesis, and we're going to go to some of these later, so, you know, just don't get too antsy on me. Genesis chapter 12, it's already 20 minutes. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Verses 3. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. He says, God says to him, he says, I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. It's one of the things he promises him. And then in 12:7, to your offspring, I will give this land. And again, he's talking about the land of Canaan. Genesis chapter 13, verses 14 through 17. I will give to you the land. Genesis chapter 13, verse 16. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth. So you see, Abraham had already been promised a whole lot of things up to this point. He'd been given a lot of promises. But here in chapter 15, and let's start with verse 1, Genesis 15, 1. After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward. But Abraham said, O sovereign Yahweh, what can you give me since I remain childless? And the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus. Stop right there. No, keep reading verse 3. And Abraham said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. So stop. God has given Abraham all these blessings, and Abraham's basically asking, Lord, how is all this going to happen? How is all this going to pass to my descendants? Because all these blessings given in chapters 12 and 13 were to his descendants and all his descendants after him. Let's read verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. So if what God does is God credits to us righteousness when we believe in him, when we have faith in what he is telling us to do. But you see, Abraham expressed his faith by living Torah. We'll get to that in a moment. Now, there's a principle in the Bible. You can go ahead and start and turn to Genesis chapter 12. We're actually going to read it this time. We're going to go into all this. There's a principle in the Bible we need to understand, and that is there's always a separation between the natural and the spiritual. You see this in the Bible. That's why teachers such as Perry Stone can say things like the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. They say these things because you see things, and I may have gotten that backwards, but the Old Testament, basically you see things in pictures and types and shadows. The New Testament, you see the spiritual true realities. So there's this natural and spiritual we find in the Bible. Let's start at Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. So a great nation. And I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. And I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Now, verse 2, I want you to go back to that for just a second. I will make you into a great nation. And we have to understand in the Bible that God deals with people, and especially in prophecy, in terms of nations. And nations have a natural descendancy. It's a race. It's a natural descendancy of people. So Abraham is promised a people, a natural people. But then later in the same scripture, you see in verse 3, I will bless those who bless those. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And we read in the New Testament that this promise of God here, that all peoples on earth will be blessed through him, comes through Christ. So you see, there's two aspects to the promises given to Abraham. The first promise is a great nation. That is a group of it's a natural descendancy. But then there is the promise that through your seed, that is Christ, all peoples on earth will be blessed. So whenever we read, like for instance, in the prophets, we read about Assyria, we read about Gog, we read about Magog, these are actual nations. They are groups of people. They have a descendancy. They have an ancestry. They're real, true people. They're not just figures of speech. It really means a group of people. There's not a spiritual meaning like Magog. Oh, that spiritually means the United States. All kinds. You know, you can get off into some weird things if you don't stay with what the Bible is teaching. You've got to start, of course, with the Torah. Now go to Genesis chapter 13, verse 6. I'm sorry, Genesis 13, 16. I misread it. Genesis 13, verse 16. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Now go to Genesis 15, 5. Genesis 15, 5. He took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." So we see here there's a natural seed of Abraham and a spiritual seed. He says that your offspring will be both like the sands of the sea, which no man can count. That's a natural seed, but then a spiritual seed. It will be like the stars in the heavens, which no man can tell. So there's a spiritual seed, a natural seed, and a spiritual seed of Abraham. Go to Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. Verse 1. I keep my Bible down here where I can read it. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. I will confirm my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers." Verse 3. Abraham fell face down and God said to him, "As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations." Again, nations. He's the father of many nations. That's many groups of people. If the promise here that he was referring to was just the spiritual seed of Christ, is there going to be many Christs? No, of course not. There's only one Christ. So there's a duality in the blessings. There's a natural and a spiritual. Let's keep reading. "No longer will you be called Abraham. Your name will be Abraham. For I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you." Again, nations, groups of people. "And kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you are now as an alien, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God." Then God said to Abraham, "As for you, you must keep my covenant, you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come. This is my covenant with you and the descendants after you, and your descendants after you, the covenant you are to keep. Every male among you must be circumcised. You are to undergo circumcision, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and you for the generations to come. Every male among you who is 8 days old must be circumcised, including those born in your household or bought with money from a foreigner, those who are not your offspring. Whether born in your household or bought with your money, they must be circumcised. My covenant in your flesh is to be an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who has not been circumcised in the flesh will be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant." God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her." Again, this is a natural blessing. Kings of people, nations. He's referring to the natural blessing here. He's not referring to Christ. He's referring to a natural. That's why he keeps referring, you and your descendants after you. His descendants are his natural descendants after him. These natural blessings come to those who are Abraham's seed, his natural seed. Verse 17, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child? That's hot. And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear a son to you, and you will call him Yitzhak. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. I've got water. That would be cool, yeah. And Abraham said to God, if only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Verse 19, then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Yitzhak. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. Stop right there. So who is God going to establish his covenant with? Isaac. You see, he had two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. Well, actually, he had a lot more sons later, but that's not what we're preaching on. He had Isaac and Ishmael. Who's the covenant going to go to? Isaac, not Ishmael. Keep reading. Verse 20, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. So Ishmael's going to get blessed. Ishmael's not being cut out, okay? And there's times in our lives we have some Ishmaels in our past. Sometimes we've made some Ishmaels along the way. Sometimes we screwed up and there's just, thank you very much. No, that's good, thank you. No, thank you. I won't be able to preach if I have a cough drop. It'll come out of my mouth and hit somebody in their eye. We'll have to pray for healing. Altar call at the end. Sorry, I'm not trying to. Hallelujah. Verse 20. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. I will surely bless him. I will make him fruitful and will greatly increase his numbers. He will be the father of 12 rulers, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant. Wait, he says, but. So what he just spoke over Ishmael, that's like the limit of what Ishmael's getting. There it is, those verses. That's what you're going to see out of Ishmael. Other than what he said when Ishmael was born, a wild donkey of a man and all that. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. When he had finished speaking with Abraham, God went up from him. On that very day, Abraham took his son Ishmael and all those born in his household or bought with his money, every male in his household, and circumcised them as God told him. Abraham was 99 years old when he was circumcised, and his son Ishmael was 13. Abraham and his son Ishmael were both circumcised on the same day. And every male in Abraham's household, including those born in his household or bought from a foreigner, were circumcised with him. Now, the interesting thing here is that in the Jewish tradition, the Jewish culture, age 13 was the age in which the bar mitzvah is held. You become a son of the covenant. But you see, Ishmael is already past the age of 30. He's already turned age 13. He's past that age. He's already past the age of 13. He gets the covenant out of the, he gets the sign of the covenant out of the commandment to Abraham. The sign of the covenant gets passed on to Isaac on the eighth day as set under the Torah. So that's why the covenant and the blessings from the covenant go to Isaac. He is the child of the promise. Because he was born by the power of the Spirit of God. You see, there's all kinds of things that happen. God will never bless anything. Well, God, I take that back. God blessed Isaac because he was born because of the promise. See, we have to operate by this. This teaches us a lesson. I'm going to get off on this for just a second. This teaches us a lesson. We have to operate by the promises of God. We can't operate by our own works. We can't go out here and start doing our own thing. We have to do the promises. God said, if you'll do these things, then I'll bless the seed of your womb. I'll bless the fruit of your womb. I'll bless the bread, the kneading trough and the bread basket. I'll bless the rain. I'll send rain in due season. I'll do all these things. I'll prevent all these things, all the bad things from coming to you. I'll bless you with good things. We have to stand on those promises. And if we have faith in those promises, we'll live by them. We'll live by this Torah. But Ishmael, he was a child of works. We can't be a church of works. We can't be a church that operates by works, doing our own thing. There are too many churches. There are too many people, even in the world, not just churches, but people in the world doing that already. Doing their own thing. Going their own way. Just a result of works. But God didn't pass the covenant through what you do by works. The covenant comes once born of the Spirit. See, everything we do here is through the Spirit of God. Led by the Spirit. So when we pray, hey, He was anointed. Hey, let's all get around and pray. It's the Spirit of God leads the service. The service is born of the Spirit. See, if we were out there doing our own thing, worshiping whenever we wanted to, doing whatever we wanted to do, that's not being led by the Spirit. That's works. Well, anyways, let's get back on track. Genesis chapter 18. And I know we're going through all these verses because we have to kind of understand that there's the natural and the spiritual. There's a division. And so Paul, in Galatians chapter 3, he talks about the spiritual seed of Abraham, which is Christ. Go to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verse 15. Brothers, let me take an example from everyday life. Just as no one can set aside to or add to a human covenant that's been duly established, so it is in this case. The promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. The Scripture does not say into seeds, meaning many people, but into your seed, meaning one person who is Christ. So the promise he's referring to is that you all nations on earth, will, not all nations, but all peoples will be blessed through you. Go back to verse 6. I didn't have this in my notes, but I want to read this. Because we need to understand that there's a difference between the natural seed and the spiritual seed. The natural and the spiritual spoken to Abraham. Galatians 3:6, consider Abraham, he believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Understand then that those who believe are children of Abraham. The Scripture foresaw that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. All nations will be blessed through you. So, when we read in Genesis where God is speaking to Abraham and saying all nations will be blessed through you, he's referring to Christ. That's how he's justifying the Gentiles by faith. So whenever you see that, that's the spiritual. That's the gospel he's referring to. But all the other prophecies about many nations, many kings, many peoples, these are all natural. They will be fulfilled in a natural way. They will manifest as kings and rulers even to this present day. Go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 16. When the men got up to leave, they looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham walked along with them to see them on their way. Then the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him, that he will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of life, the way of the Lord, by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. So again, you see a difference between that. He says, I'm going to make you a great nation, and then all peoples will be blessed through you. Again, it's the difference between a natural and then the spiritual blessings which are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now go to Genesis 25. Genesis chapter 25, verse 19. In order for us to understand where these blessings are today, we have to understand where did they go from Abraham? After Abraham, where did they go? Let's go to Genesis chapter 25. After Genesis chapter 25. So we know that after Abraham it went to Isaac, but what about after Isaac? Where does the blessing go? Genesis chapter 25, verse 19. This is the account of Abraham's son Yitzhak. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel, the Aramean from Padan Aram, and sister of the Aramean, and sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was barren. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger." When the time came for her boys to give birth, there were twin boys in her room. The first one to come out was red, and his whole body was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, and his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was a quiet man, staying among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for the wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." "Look, I'm about to die," Esau said. "What good is the birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. Stop right there. So you have Jacob and Esau, brothers. Esau is the older, but Jacob's the younger. But God said that the older would serve the younger. The older being Esau. So Esau just gave away his birthright to Jacob. But turn over to chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, verse 1. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your weapons, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Isaac left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may eat it in you, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me 2 choice young goats so I can prepare some tasty food for your father just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat so he may give you his blessing before he dies. Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, But my brother, he's a hairy man, and I'm a man with... What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, my son, let the curse follow me. Just do what I say. Go on and get them for me. I'm not going to read all this because, you know, that could take a lot of time. But let's go down to verse 22. Jacob went to it close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, the voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau. He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he blessed him. Are you really my son Esau, he asked. I am, he replied. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. Jacob brought it to him and he ate. And then he brought some wine and he drank. And his father Isaac said to him, come here, my son, and kiss me. So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you of heaven's dew and of earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. Many nations serve you. May nations serve you, and peoples bow down to you. This is a natural blessing. Let's read this again. Verse 28. May God give you the riches, give you of heaven's dew and of the earth's richness. He's talking about rain. He's talking about the earth's richness. What's the earth's richness? That's minerals from the ground. That's the richness of crops. That's the richness of the land, being able to use the plants and the soil for different types of things. Having rivers within the country. Having all kinds of natural things. An abundance of grain and new wine. That's a natural blessing. Verse 29, may nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. May nations, may other nations bow down to you. Peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and may those who bless you be blessed. Now at this time, right after this, Esau comes back. He just came back from hunting because his father asked him to go get him some game so he could receive his blessing before his father died. But what does his father say? Verse 33, Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed. So the blessing went to Jacob. Verse 36, Esau said, isn't he rightly named Jacob? He has deceived me these 2 times. He took my birthright and now he's taken my blessing. Then he asked, haven't you reserved any blessing for me? Isaac answered Esau, I have made him lord over you and made all his relatives his servants. And I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son? You see, there was only one blessing he could pass down. Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35, verse 9. After Jacob returned from Padan, am I in the right place? Yeah, verse 9. After Jacob returned from Padan Aram, God appeared to him again and blessed him. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he called him Israel. And God said to him, I am God. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. God said to him, your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel. So he named him Israel. And God said to him, I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you. And kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac I also give to you. And I will give this land to your descendants after you. Then God went up from him at that place where he had taught with him. So here we understand that the blessing is expanded. No longer is just a nation, it's going to be a nation and a community of nations. Again, natural blessing. Go to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis 48. 1-7. Sometime later, Joseph was told, "Your father is ill." So he took his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim, along with him. When Jacob was told, "Your son Joseph has come to you," Israel rallied his strength. Start with verse 1 yet. Israel rallied his strength and sat up on his bed. Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan. And there he blessed me and said to me, 'I'm going to make you fruitful and will increase your numbers. I will make you a community of peoples, and I will give you this land as an everlasting possession to your descendants after you.' Now then, your two sons born to you in Egypt, before I came to you here, will be reckoned as mine. Ephraim and Manasseh will be mine, just as Reuben and Simeon are mine." Stop right there. So what did God just say? What did God say to Jacob in Genesis 35? He said, "From your body, a nation and a community of nations are going to come." So here he tells Ephraim, he tells Joseph, "Ephraim and Manasseh will be reckoned as mine, just as Reuben and Simeon," just as if they had come from his body. Let's keep reading. Verse 7, "As I was returning from Padan, to my sorrow Rachel died in the land of Canaan while we were still on our way, a little distance from the Ephrath. So I buried her there beside the road to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem." Skip down to verse 13. "And Joseph took both of them, Ephraim on his right towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh on his left towards Israel's right hand. And he brought them close to him." Now the reason why he does this is because Manasseh was the older. You have to understand, in the Hebrew culture, the old one, the old eldest always receives the blessing. But you see, when you study the Bible, it's not always the oldest of the natural seed that receives the blessing. It's the firstborn of God that receives the blessing. So you've got Manasseh, Joseph setting them up to be blessed, as he, you know, is perceiving it should be done. But look what happens, verse 14. "But Israel reached out his..." "But Israel reached out his right hand and put it on Ephraim's head, though he was the younger, and crossing his arms, he put his left hand on Manasseh's head, even though Manasseh was the firstborn." So he crossed it up. He did it differently. Instead of putting the oldest blessing on Manasseh, he did it to Ephraim. Instead of putting the blessing of the younger on Ephraim, he put it on Manasseh. He switched it up. Even though Manasseh was the firstborn. Verse 15. "Then he blessed Joseph and said, 'May the God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has delivered me from all harm, may he bless these boys. May they be called by my name.'" So they're going to be called by my name. What's his name? Israel. These two boys. He didn't say, "Well, them other two." No, he said, "These two boys. May they be called by my name and the names of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac." That means the blessings that were first given to Abraham, which were then passed down to Isaac, which then were passed down to Jacob, will now be placed upon these two young men's lives and upon their seed. Because you see, the promises that God gave to Abraham, the promises that God gave to Abraham, they build up. If you read the Bible, at first he says one thing, then he adds to it, then he adds to it, then he adds something else. That's why we went back and read all those verses. You can see a progression. At the beginning he said, "I'm going to make a great nation of you." Then later he said to Isaac, He said to Isaac, "I'm going to make a community of nations." Then to Jacob, "A nation and a community of peoples will come from you." And here we see the fulfillment of it all coming down to these two men who are going to be reckoned as under Israel, who are going to be called Israel. "And may they increase greatly upon the earth." That's a natural blessing. increase greatly upon the earth. What did God say in the beginning? Increase and multiply, be fruitful. Verse 17, when Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand to move it away from Ephraim's head to Manasseh. We do that a lot, right? God's trying to do one thing, we try and step in the way and screw it up, right? That's kind of what's going on. Joseph's like, no, stop, what are you doing? He tries to switch him up. Verse 18, Joseph said to him, no, my father, this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. So he says about Manasseh, he will be a people, Ephraim, a group of people, a community, a nation, and a group of nations. Nevertheless, his younger brother, he blessed them that day and said, in your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh. Why would God say that? Why would God say, make you like Ephraim and Manasseh? Why would God say that that was, why would God allow this to be in the word of God here that we are, that this blessing would be said in, that would be said in Israel, to bless you like Ephraim and Manasseh? Because all the blessings from Abraham were put upon them. So yeah, may God bless you like Ephraim and Manasseh. I mean, who doesn't want that, right? I want that. Do you want an abundance of new grain and new wine and oil in your life? Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to increase and be fruitful in your life? I don't know about you, but I'm tired of being unfruitful with my life. I'm trying to do things through the Spirit of, and the power of God, through the Holy Spirit, to be stronger, to be fruitful with my life, to see something come of my life, not to be like those who have no hope, who have no future. There are people in the world right now who make lots of money. They have lots of things, but they have no hope. They have no future because it's all by works. It's an Ishmael. It's not a blessing that came by the Spirit of God. It came because of works. It didn't come because God made them a prosper. It came because they sold out to the world. They sold out to the world system. They sold out to believe in the things of this world, to serve the God of this world. And they're not getting blessed. They're being cursed by such an abundance of riches because they refuse to believe in the truth. We've got to fight for the blessing, but the blessing doesn't come through your works. The blessing comes to hallelujah, the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God that brings about the blessings in your life. I'm talking about the blessings of Torah at this point. But this is a blessing right here. It was passed down. And in Genesis 49, verse 1, then Jacob called for his sons and said, gather around so I can tell you what will happen to you in days to come. It says in days to come. Should read in the last days. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the last days. Go over to verse. Man, my eyes. Verse 22. Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over a wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. But Genesis 49, verse 23. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot at him with hostility. But his bow remained steady. His strong arm stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. Because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel. Because of your father's God who helps you. Because of the Almighty who blesses you, with the blessings of the heaven above, blessings of the deep that lie below, blessings of the breast and the womb, your father's blessings are greater than the blessings of the ancient mountains, than the bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. All these blessings were passed down, and they're here in the last days. So is the Bible true or is it a lie? Is it true or is it a lie? Do all these blessings, did they pass down or, well, somewhere along the line they got lost and, you know, we're still looking for them? You know, it's interesting, some of the things that are said about the tribes in the Bible. It's said about Judah that he will have to defend his own cause. And look at Judah, the land, the country we call Israel right now. They're having to defend their own cause most of the time. We're barely standing with them right now. You see, Judah's always, it's always been like that. They separated from the northern tribes. Judah, defend your own cause. These things are prophetic things that came to pass. But this is coming to pass in the last days. This is not a general thing that you will see manifest throughout the history. This is something that will happen in the last days. It says a fruitful vine. It says the blessings of the heaven above. The blessings of the deep that lie below. What other country on earth right now is blessed like the United States? There's not one. There's not a single one, right? I mean, we live in, I mean, we got what? We got four walls we meet in. You know, we got heating, cooling. We got nice cushy chairs. I mean, you know, we're comfortable. You know, we got sound system. We got DVD player. We got DVDs with the music already on it. So y'all don't have to hear us sing and you all go deaf. I'm just bezzling and say amen to that, right? We have all these blessings. Our brothers in Kenya don't have that, do they? No, they sure don't. They are roughing it. They got people dying from starvation over there. They didn't inherit these natural blessings. What about our brothers in India? Brother in India, get this. They're so poor over there that they eat rice water most of the time. Rice water. He got diabetes from malnutrition. Hey, he still walks to three churches and preaches on Shabbat. He walks with part of his foot missing from diabetes. They're poverty stricken in these other countries. We are so blessed. How about in China? Everybody talks about China. Ooh, their economy, blah, blah, blah. They make them people work for nothing like what we get. That's why all the jobs are leaving here. It's like, man, we can't afford to hire you people. y'all asking for $40 an hour, you know what I'm saying? They'll work for nothing over there, right? That's why they're all leaving. Yeah, and corporate taxes. Yeah, we're taxing ourselves to death. Tax the blessing away, why don't we, right? What other country is so blessed? What other country has had the blessings of the heavens above? What's that mean? We've gone to outer space. A lot of the technology we have today came from space exploration. Microwaves and all kinds of other cool stuff we have. All the NASA and all our space exploration, all our technology came from being in heaven, the heavens above. Came United States. Blessings of the deep that lies below. The U.S. has some of the great, have actually the best underwater cisterns in the world. Think about it. In fact, Jackson, Tennessee sits on like an aquifer over this whole area. It's like underwater. It's like one of the best ones in the world over West Tennessee. Blessings of the breast and the womb. There's hundreds of millions of people here. And compared to other countries, you know, in other countries, children can die. You know, a lot of children die at really young ages. They don't all, you might have a family that have like 12 kids and then six of them die. You know, I know missionaries in Sierra Leone right now. And it's so sad when you learn, you know, they're dying over there from malnutrition, all the children. They didn't inherit these natural blessings. We did. We inherited them. And what have we done with them? I'm getting there. See. The breast and the womb, our children that grow up, okay, there's, you know, we have stuff wrong with kids when they're born, but nothing like what's in other countries. Even children who have maybe get measles or mumps, we got the technology to help them get better. We have that here. the blessings of the ancient mountains. You know, the Appalachian Mountains said they have been in and under the water seven times, the oldest mountains on planet Earth. The bounty of the age-old hills. Let all these rest on the head of Joseph, on the brow of the prince among his brothers. It says he's a prince among his brothers. What was it said about Jacob? What was it said about Isaac? That nations will bow. Hey, look, when the U.S. says, you better do X, Y, Z, it used to be this way. It's not anymore. We're losing this, you know. but anyways, I'm not. We're losing this. Our country as a whole is losing this. It's not one person or anything like that. Our country as a whole. But back in the day when the U.S. said, hey, we want this, it happened. People bowed down. Okay? How about two world wars? Okay? The English can talk all they want to about World War II. It hadn't been for the U.S., you know. They might be speaking German right now, right? Because we're brothers, the United States and Great Britain. I'm focusing more on the U.S. because people neglect the U.S. They just want to talk about Britain. Britain is Ephraim. We are Manasseh. We're a great nation. They're a community of nations. Okay? England, Canada, South Africa. They had other possessions in Africa too. India, parts of China, New Zealand, Australia. They had places all over the world. It was said that the sun never sets on the British Empire at one time. They were a community of nations. The United States has some small holdings, but not nations. Not nations. Not like Great Britain had. The United States and Great Britain, Ephraim and Manasseh. You see, it took both of us to defeat Hitler in World War II. World War I took both of us. Okay, the French were no count. They're French anyways. They're unstable like water. Swash, swash. But anyways, it took both of us, brothers, the sons of Israel. That's why we can say things. And of course, the Great Britain has had just all the natural blessings that we have as well. Think about all the blessings we have, the same commodities, the same comforts over there in England right now. So you see, when you read your prophet, you read the book of Genesis, you understand who these nations are now in the last days and what our responsibility is. See, God didn't just pass down this responsibility for us to, it's like, We can draw this into spiritual too. God didn't save you so that you could just go live any way that you want. God gives us the spiritual gift of salvation to be a blessing to the whole world. Pass it on. Do something with it. Pass the spiritual blessings on. And so he gave us the natural blessings for a reason as well. To pass them on, but to also live a certain way of life. Go back to Genesis 18. Genesis chapter 18, verse 17. Are you ready? Verse 17. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him. For I have chosen him, so that he will... Wait. For I have chosen him... So that, there's a reason why he chose him. He will direct his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing what is right and just, so that the Lord will bring about for Abraham what he has promised him. We're supposed to continue teaching our children and our children after us We're supposed to continue teaching them the way of the Lord. That's what God wanted us to do. That's why when He gave the Torah, He said, talk about it on the side of the road. Teach it to your children. And they ask, why are we doing all this? You tell them why. See, we're supposed to be teaching this to our children. The sons of Abraham, Ephraim and Manasseh, here we are. 5 minutes. Here we are at the last days. Are we teaching these things? No. We teach sin in this country a lot better than we teach the way of God, don't we? And if you don't believe me, just watch any random channel. I mean, you know, it's funny that the Christian channels are in the minority in this country. You know, I got to scrounge to find some Christian channels. I was like, move. Oh man, look. There's a Christian channel right there. There's this channel. You know, I mean, there's so much crap you got to go through just to find the good in our country. We've squandered the blessings. See, God didn't bless Abraham because he was disobedient. He blessed Abraham because he was obedient. Go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Verse 1. Now there was a famine in the land besides the earlier famine of Abraham's time, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land where I tell you to live. Stay in this land, for it would be better if we did that, right? When the Lord said, do something, if we just did it. Stay in the land where you live. Stay in this land for a little while, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. All right, listen. For to you and your descendants, I will give all these lands, and will confirm that oath I swore to your forefather Abraham. I will make your descendants as numerous as stars in the sky, and will give them all these lands, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed me and kept my requirements, my commandments, my decrees, and my laws. So Isaac stayed at Gerar. Trust me, he listened when God said that. He didn't have the Torah. So when you read in Romans, it didn't come by works, but by faith. He believed. He didn't need something. He didn't have to read it. He didn't have to have somebody sit, oh, I got a vision or a dream for you, brother. He didn't have to have that. He trusted in God. He didn't have to have somebody else be an intermediary. He heard directly. That's why He's the father of our faith. That's why when you see Him go on the mountain, He's an image and a type of God the Father carrying His Son up there to sacrifice Him for our sins. That's why when He looked in the distance, He saw the Lamb, but He sacrificed the Ram. He saw Jesus. We're supposed to be living this way of life, and it shouldn't require for us to sin. We ought to just believe. We ought to trust in God to guide us, even though it may hurt for us to lose the connections to our natural family. Though it may hurt a little bit at a time when we lose friends and family to turn to this way of life. But Abraham had to make the same decision. And if he's the father of our faith, what kind of decision you think you're going to have to make in these last days? You think you're not going to have to forsake friends and family, leave the land where you grew up? Well, I grew up in a land of paganism. I came out of a house where they were of paganism. They still got 3 trees in the house right now. But I'm telling you right now, I've left that house. I'm not there anymore. I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm in the land He's called me to. I'm at Hungry Hearts Ministries, learning the way, trying to live the way, trying to help people live the way so that they can come up out of the land that they grew up in, the house they grew up in, a house of paganism. And my kids ain't going back to that place. My children will not return. They will learn the way of the Lord. I will walk in the blessings of Abraham. I will teach the way of the Lord that is just and right in His eyes. Praise the Lord. Give me one extra minute in addition. Twice as much as one. The blessings to Abraham, natural but a spiritual. And the natural manifests in these last days through the United States and Great Britain. Because you see, God said He was going to bless him. So the blessing was going to come, and it has already come to this country. You look at our history, so much has happened here. Industrial Revolution, all the different things over time. The spiritual seed, the spiritual blessing, though, comes through Christ.